Blog Talk Radio.
There's a shelter cat who wants to meet you. Meet one today. This is a shelter cat project.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and yes, I was on Tuesday, but now it's Thursday, and this is when I always say that I'm taking some time off. I end up doing more shows than I ever did. So anyway, we got a great show today, and if you listen to the promo, this is a show with writers, directors, producers, you know, actors. So I think this is a show that encompasses everything. So this is a good thing. We haven't done anything like this with everybody here, and so I think it's going to be a lot of fun because everybody knows how I always think. If everybody works together, we'll get good projects. So all we need to do is tell Hollywood that, and then we'll all be set. So anyway, Gene Williams is not here yet, but he will be, and Samuel French is here, and Randall Dark is here, and I, Marcia Cook, is here. So I will bring them out right away, and then they can tell you a little bit about themselves. Okay, Samuel, how are you? So nice to join us. I'm happy to have you. Very happy.
And I'm honored to be on the show. Thank you so much for the invite.
Oh, anytime. As we know, anytime. I'll have a show in a minute's notice. So that's good that you're here. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
So they know.
Definitely. I'm from Texas. I'm an actor, writer, and also dabbing a little producing as well. I've been an actor for about 8 years now, on the acting grind anyways. And I've been in a couple of TV shows, one last year called Texas Rising. I had a supporting role in it. A very good opportunity it was on the History Channel, starring Bill Paxton, Brandon Fraser, Kris Kristofferson.
That's pretty good. Kris Kristofferson. That must have been interesting. Yeah.
Oddly enough, quick story on that. That is my father's number one music idol.
Really?
I grew up to him for the longest with my dad watching and listening to his music, and so it was a real honor to be able to work with him. And I was actually able to get his autograph from my dad for a birthday present.
Oh, that's a good thing. It doesn't matter what you do. It's now that you got the autograph. Well, that was a good thing.
right. That was an awesome project. We shot that in Durango, Mexico. Was in the mountains on John Wayne's old ranch up there, and so it was real big time experience for me. And so, I've done a couple of TV shows and a couple of films, and now I'm actually given a shot at producing some of my own stuff as well this year. And so, that's kind of where I'm at with it. So
it's a great thing. It's great. You're trying it all. And Randall? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You know you're always welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You do a lot of things also.
Yeah, I have a kind of eclectic background. I started my career writing, directing, and producing theater because back then it was easier to do theater than 35mm because the cost of doing, feature films and film stock and processing, et cetera, was really high. So living up in Canada at the time, I went, well, it's a cost-effective way to become a better director, better producer, better writer. So I ended up doing probably about 14 of my plays up in Canada. And actually, I did one in New York City as well. So, well, and then one day someone called me up, and I was out west in Canada, and they said, you should hear about something called HDTV. And this was in the mid-80s. No one had heard about it. There wasn't a broadcast standard. There wasn't any standards. And there was a mini-series being shot in Toronto called Chasing Rainbow. So I flew to Toronto. I convinced them to hire me, and I was able to work on the first mini-series in high definition. And to make a long story as short as I can, I knew HD was going to be the future, not just for television or medicine, or I knew it was going to replace feature films, not just in theaters, display devices, but also in image capture. So I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of the first of things. I shot the first football game in high definition. I shot a baseball game in high definition. I shot Victor Victoria on Broadway with Julie Andrews in high definition.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been lucky to do some pretty great projects. But that being said, what's more important to me is who I work with. And if you look at my career, you know, when I wanted to work with talented people, I look to people like Fred Miller, who produced a Baylor project I did, and he also was the producer for the feature film Angel Sing that I worked on. But Chris Christopherson was in, I might add.
He played the father in that. You're right, he played the father. I love that.
And then one of my favorite producers was Kristen Cox, who happens to be my best friend and my wife. You know, Yeah, and then when I was doing a project with Tony Robbins, I was doing a documentary with Tony Robbins and shooting and doing a white paper for him. I ran into Sharon Rankin and Scott Rankin, and we did Angel Sing together. And then we've done recently, I worked with him on Fast from the Past. So I'm all about finding people I like, people I trust, people who are talented, and which brings me right to this project. I met Sam and Jean. I instantly liked them. I liked the script, and so I'm so excited to talk about this new project.
There's four writers on the script, right? I mean, there's four, right? On
that's
the
yes,
script.
Sam answered that.
Yes, there actually is, and it's been a crazy road. We started with me, obviously, back in 2013, and kind of short description of it. But I started writing it. I got to about 52 pages. I was loving the direction it was going. Since it was my first script, though, I kind of had thoughts on can I actually do this by myself?
That's the writer. That's the writer.
Right. So, you're taking on something for the first time, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm a jock. I played professional indoor football for 10 years before I even got back into acting and started doing this. And so, for me, it's kind of a big jump to actually think about or even accomplishing writing something, anyways. But so I had a good buddy of mine, Jacob Figaro. He's an actor as well, and so I had an idea for the role of one of the characters for him, and I kind of sent him a message and say, hey, I've got a good idea. I'm kind of writing a script. I got an idea for a character for you. You think you would want to help me out? And he's like, yeah, man, of course. And so he jumped on board, me and him together wrote it to about 86 pages. And so he kind of exited and went to LA and was doing his thing, got busy, and which I understood. So I kind of left it at that. And then I had a good buddy of mine who I met through the film industry, come in and do the final writing on it. And so he did the final draft, and which is a really good writer, by the way. He's written a lot of stuff and won some awards and festivals and stuff. And so he definitely knew what he was doing. So he came in.
No, is that Jacob? That was Jacob?
Joshua Tywater is his name, actually.
Okay, Josh. Okay. All right, so because I have four of you down here. Right, okay.
Right. Joshua Tywater would be the guy who kind of wrote the final the first final until I partnered up with Gene Williams, which also he's got a little bit of writing on it as well. And so And so, yeah, so that sums it up, four of us. And
So Gene is a producer also, right? I know that. I saw that. He also produces.
Yes, and I'm not, yeah. And so he's actually my actual partner in crime through everything, actually. We actually own a business together as well, but our production company is one of them. And he's a writer, a producer. He also will be acting in the film as well. So
yes. Yeah. So then see that, you know what, the last Tuesday we had Daniel Knuff from Blacklist. So he was saying his advice to everybody he produces and writes, and he was saying he did Carnival also, and he said that he thinks that a lot of times writers, if they take acting classes or learn how to act, they would probably be really good at better at writing scripts, because you can really see it from a different point. So how
right.
does that work for you? Do you think that helps?
I would say so. You know, obviously, you know, creating characters and that kind of thing, you can kind of, it's the same process, I believe, trying to prepare for a role in writing the role. It's not all the same, but you can kind of visualize and kind of relate to the character as you're building them in the writing process. And I think I wouldn't have known how to do that if I didn't study Meisner for a year and a half and all the other training that I had in acting and learn how to relate to something that that I may have not, you know, may never knew before, as far as like I'm talking about a certain character that I was writing. Yeah, I was creating this character, but to build backstories and things like that, you got to really honestly dig deep into something that you may have experienced in the past, you know. And I learned a lot of that from acting classes. So I think, yeah, I'm a big, you know, big fan of acting classes, and I think they help an actor or just an industry person all the way around, you know. Whatever side of
See, I think the good thing is, it seems like from Randall, like what you're saying also, that when you're working with other people, if you get along, I mean, the project really does much better. If you don't get along and you don't see the vision, then I think it's pretty hard, because you're all on different pages, you know, and that happens a lot in Hollywood, because you can see sometimes when you're watching a movie, I'm sure you both, you'll see something and you go, what happened to the character? I mean, because it changes. And sometimes, you know, with a character, it's hard to write a good character. I mean, people think it might not be, but it is hard to write a good character, because you have to know what happened to them, even though it's not in the script. You still have to have some feeling, you know, about what this character is about.
Right. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Randall. And Randall's
definitely
director, so go ahead.
Yeah, I did act a couple of times early in my career, not because I wanted to be an actor or I thought I was any good. I wanted to understand the process from that point of view. That being said, what makes a director a good director, he understands the uniqueness of the people he's working with. And you bring a lot of things to the table. You know, I've studied everything from, you know, very famous acting teachers to things like neurolinguistics programming. You know, all of those things come into play. When you communicate, when you work with an actor, you need to understand how they view the world, what their acting process is, and you let them be in that world. And as a director, whether or not, you know, Samuel uses Grotowski or Stanislavski, or you know, Gene is just a reaction type of actor, and I'm not saying they're these. I'm using this as an example. But as a director, you have to recognize that they have this particular talent and they have this particular way of getting into the character, portraying the character.
Yeah.
And as a director, you can't be didactic in your approach with them. You have to let them breathe life into the character, give them inspiration, help shape it, and have the big, big, big picture. Because an actor knows their scene, and it's going to be interesting for Samuel, because he's also a writer. So it's hard to let it go. And one of the reasons I was a writer, director, producer is I didn't have to let it go. You know, the producer would go, hey, director, do it this way. And the writer would go, I was all of them. So I only had to answer to myself. But where teams work, it's a team. Like, you know, we look at the Olympics. Why do we love the Olympic sports? Is there the individual sports, but there's the team sports. I'm a team player. So when I met Gene and I met Samuel, I went, I like these guys as they're good, solid people. So that made it easier for me. And I love the project, and I'm going, it's a team effort, and they get that, and that's why I'm so excited to work with these guys.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think that, you know, and it shows a lot, you know, because, I mean, that's what I think, before the show we were talking about, like Gary Marshall, you know, when you've seen some of his movies from the past, you know, that his characters, he had a lot of the same people in his movies, and which...
Oh, absolutely. If you look at my early years of theater, I'm using the same actors and actresses over and over again. And and I'm going from musical comedy to psychodrama to, you know, Alan Arkin type of dinner theater. You know, it's and I would use the same people because you connect with them, number one. Two, they're very, very, very talented. But you create a family of who you like to work with. There are projects that I will not work on. Because I'm going, I don't want to spend 4 months with that person. It's never going to happen.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, because it's a very close relationship, right, when you're together, you know, doing all of this. So, you think, do you have any favorite directors that you like, special, you know, either of
you? I mean, you know what?
No.
Samuel, go ahead.
Oh, was that from, yeah. You know, I'm the kind of person and kind of actor who I want to work with, you know, and not at this point in my career, I want to work with a wide range of directors in different, you know.
So you could learn everything, right, so you can learn from different people,
you know,
how they do it.
Yeah, and be open-minded about it because I haven't worked with a lot of directors from an actor's, you know. I got to work with, you know, the legendary, to me he's a legend, Roland Joffe for he directed To the Rising, and, you know, and I was pumped up about that and really nervous at the same time because that was one of the biggest projects I'd done to date on my career. And I walked right in and I knocked it out of the park, and he probably barely directed me maybe twice through the whole day and a half that I shot that project, you know. And, you know, he even came up to me and says, man, I just don't have much to really say to you or have you change. I mean, you're gabbing all
the way. Well,
that's
great. That was good.
Yeah, you know, and it makes you feel good. And as an actor and as a professional, it makes you feel like, you know, you're in the right place, right time, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But I'm sure I've got a long list of directors that I definitely look forward to working with. But I kind of stay in the moment as far as I'm what we're trying to do here and complete right now, and I really look forward to working with Russell, you know, because he has such a great. I'm from day one with the Brothers Bad script. He's had such the same vision that we've been looking for and looking at throughout the entire process of this project, and I know he had mentioned being an actor, being the writer, being, you know, and letting go. Randall, I'm not going to have one problem stepping on this set at any time and letting go of this whole entire project and doing my thing as an actor, because I am so pleased with the vision that you have for our project that it's going to be so – that's going to be the least of my worries when we get to this point. So,
I think that's a really good thing. I think, you know, and I do think, you know, when you're a writer and when you do – I think writers, a lot of them, you know, a lot of clients, I would say to them, you know, somebody may want to change your words and they may want to do some, you know, different things. And the people that – it was interesting that people said, no, they don't want them to. I said, well, then you can't work with anybody then, because every word that you write doesn't mean it's going to be the same words that you're going to see on the screen. It's just how it goes. You have to be open. You know, and
you do.
And people just, they think, you know, even when they're writing a book, you know, when somebody gives them a bad review or whatever, you have to be able to take this. I mean, you know, I've done 12 scripts, but I've been writing scripts for years and got a lot of rejections. You have to have those because that makes you a better writer, or I'm sure the same, you know, for every directing and producing and everything, because you can't just walk in and everything is perfect. It doesn't work that way. You don't learn anything.
You don't, Right, and you don't want it that way. And I've been on a lot of sets and a lot of things. I mean, these real, real, real great moments in film are not scripted. You know what I mean? These moments are actors.
I know. I'm sure that's true, yes.
They know the gist of the scene. They know their lines, and you know, but it's the directors who let them do what they do that makes these scenes great, you know. And,
me as a writer,
even though I've written this, you know, written this film, I want to be that away. I want to be that away on set and through this throughout this project too. I want let the actors do what they do, because these are the moments that you can't create these moments without an actor just being in the zone and doing exactly what they would do when they're feeling it. And so, no, I agree. You have to be open-minded. And just because I wrote something on a piece of paper does not mean that's the way it has to be. You know what I mean?
I agree with that 100%. And because I think that's one of the problems with writers is, you know, like even when it's in the shows that I do, I try to, like for the last 6 years I've done shows, and I thought I knew, you know, some things, you know. I didn't have a formal education in this. I made my own education in this. I started writing scripts and books and learning how to do a lot of children's books, but I think you have to do a lot of things, you know. But, you know, I didn't just one day say I'm going to do this. It took a lot, you know, and a lot of studying. And a lot of people think that once they write a book, and you know, they don't think there's anything they have to learn. And in script writing, for sure, you know, you write one script, but then 5 minutes later, you look at the lines and you go, oh my God, this could be better, you know, and that's how you should be. Oh, wait, I think Gene might be here. So let me just let him. Gene, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi. Okay, we're meeting Gene. Okay. All right. I don't know if you hi, it's Marcia, and Randall's here, and Samuel. So, before we go any further, you want to just talk a little bit about, so they'll know who you are, and so then we can just continue on.
Okay. I'm the guy that's late. That's me.
Okay, that's
who I am.
On this show, that's fine. That's fine.
We'll have someone picking him up and driving him to set every day, by the way.
It's like my husband said. I always say everything is 10 minutes. Wherever we're going, I go, it's 10 minutes. He goes, what 10 minutes? It's like a half hour, but everything is 10 minutes for me. We'll be there in 10 minutes.
Well, my plan is working now. I get a chauffeur.
Right. This is a good thing.
Genius. He's a genius.
Let me
That's
tell you
right.
something. All my characters have chauffeurs, they have maids, they have everything. I'm going like, this is really good. You can just have people do whatever you want. You know, it's not a bad life. It's okay. All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, just for a second. Now, other than being late, we don't care. We're fine with that.
Okay. I went to the University of Texas. I went for business school, and I did take an acting class when I was there. I didn't like it. And in the last 5 years, I went from modeling to acting, had different businesses doing different things, technology, communications. Now have a company in Dallas doing installations for rain gutters.
Which is just quite similar, right? I mean, really similar.
Yeah.
Well, we all do different things. See, isn't it weird how it is? Yeah, it's a range. You know, I have an electronic business, so go figure. That is really not doing very well because everybody's buying on the internet. So what can I tell you? Life is different.
Yeah,
you know?
All you need to do is get on the internet and put a Chinese name in front of your thing, and people will buy from you.
I know. Well.
No, it's all about marketing, sweetie.
I know.
If you want people to pay attention.
Yes, I do. I know how to market, but I don't like marketing for that. I've been marketing. We talked about that before the show about marketing, you know, and our hire. When we're all in this business now where you really have to go out and, like, you're doing the shows, you do a lot of shows, you know, you have to get out there. And then that's where I think, you know, marketing is a very stressful. I would much prefer to just write. But you got to get your work out there, and the only way you can do that is market, you know. And I think that to me, and I'm not stressed out ever. But when I have to do marketing, which I do every night, because I say I'm not going to do it, so we all know about that. So I mean, does anybody here like marketing? No, probably not.
I'm just the opposite. I think
you might. Because you're out there really good there. I know.
No,
you are.
Well, you have to look at things holistically. I look at everything as unbelievably important, and I want to be the best director I can be. I want to be the best producer I can be, cinematographer, and the best marketing person, because it's a group effort. So it would be a disservice to these two gentlemen if I didn't step out and help market them with the same passion that I have for Tail of Sasquatch, my children's app that I'm marketing to the world. It's a team effort, but you have to embrace it, because I think that it limits you
at so many levels.
If you go, I don't like doing it. Well, you have to learn how to like doing it.
You have to do it. Right. I know. That's very true. You know, you're right. But, you know, and so I think what's happened, though, with Facebook and all these things, you know, we're all on this, but, you know, people have stopped sharing as much as they should because, you know, I don't know why that is. I don't have that answer, you know, because I've been doing shows for 6 years and I've noticed, you know, a lot of people in this field that write and direct and, you know, they're already out of it because they don't stay in long enough. And this is a tough, you know, it's tough. You got to keep going. I mean, that is what I always tell people is just keep going, you know, because you're never going to know if you don't write it down or get it, you know. Sitting in a drawer, it's not going to help. You know, you got to get out there, which is what I
do.
But, you know, right, you know, it just, there's no doubt that we have to do this, you know.
And Randall is a godsend because he's so good at it. And I've been learning so much from him since we've started kind of working together on A Brother's Back. He's taken the time to teach us, you know, the ways to do things and how not to do it, and which we really appreciate, Randall, by the way. I don't know I know we tell you we appreciate you every day. We try to.
Yeah. Love you guys.
But he's really, really great at it. Nobody else that I've worked with you know, even Gene's good at the internet stuff and all that, and me, not so much. I kind of run around with my head cut off a lot of times, but I'm going and going and going. But Gene's also good at some of the marketing stuff too. But Randall has been a big help at it. I mean, he's so good at it.
I think Randall, even when I heard you on with Lisa and Linda, you know, that's why, because I called in that night that you were on the first time, I think, with the girls. And, you know, because you're open and, you know, a lot of directors, you know, they don't feel the same way you do. You're looking at a project the way I always envision it should be, where everybody's helping each other, and the writer, actor, producer, everybody works together. So, I mean, you are an exception to that, because I hear you on shows and I see that you do this and you're always sharing. And, I mean, I appreciate that also because I know how busy you are. So I think, you know, people could take lessons from you because this is how you have a successful career, because you are liking and sharing everything. And I think a lot of people don't do that. And they don't realize how much we all need that. You know, I mean, everybody needs sharing.
Well, I feel I've been blessed my entire life. I've had the opportunity to work with amazingly talented people. I've been able to do things that I look back at my career and I feel I've just kind of only done a little bit. But I look at a few of the things that I'm going, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the people I've been involved with. It's like these two gentlemen. You find people that are good people that have the same sort of values, and then you go,
yep,
well, what can we do together? It's like this new group I'm working with that, again, all this is related. I'm putting together with this group of people an international nonprofit, and the aim is to be the focal point of international attention for Texas artists, innovation and entertainment, and whether it's film or television or music or public affairs, for goodness sake. Shame on us if we don't help each other.
I've never had an affair. What are you talking about?
That we're talking international affairs and public affairs, not personal affairs.
I've known some international women.
There you go. See, that's why we're working with this guy. He's got
That must be Gene. So maybe you have to listen to the erotic show. I have all these erotic writers on, these sizzling hot writers on. Constantly.
Hey, have you seen some of his modeling shots? Oh my goodness. That's all
well,
I'm
you
saying.
Know, because I look for covers. No, I'll have to look through this. I look for covers, and I was looking for a cover for my guys for certain books, and I'm looking, and I feel like, what am I sitting here doing? I'm looking through all these guys. Like, this one's cute, that one's cute, this one's too old,
hey,
this is that.
Hire
I'm thinking
Gene,
like, oh,
that's
my
all I'm
God.
Saying.
Well, there's a lot of people that might want to hire you because we do have a lot of – I have a lot of sizzling hot romance shows. I mean, half the shows, when they're on, I'm going like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to figure out what the hell they're talking about. We have all these – you know, they when we read them, I have to write that on Blog Talk because I have to tell people it's censored because, you know, some of the stuff – and I'm sitting there, I'm listening to them, I'm going like, I don't even know how they're doing this. You know, because I had writers on here one time and they were trying to explain that they're – they actually were publishers, and they were saying, and writers, they're trying to figure out how everybody does everything, these positions and all of this. So life is, you know, that's what these radio shows do for you. You learn all these things that I, in a million years, like Samuel, you said you didn't know you'd ever be writing, you know, and I'm probably the least likely of my friends to ever do any of these things that I do now. I mean, you know, you never know in life what you're going to do. Yeah. That's the fun of it, you know. So,
well,
I mean...
And to follow that thought, you know, it says I'm the director, but the thing is, I'm a cinematographer and as well. And though I'll be directing this, when you look at Samuel and you look at Gene, they look. If you go, what's the perfect look for the characters for the script? These guys, as a, you know, to see them on a 40-foot screen to do that close up when they're acting, it's going to be riveting. Drama. That's why I'm so excited as a director. I'm going, these guys will be able to nail what we're trying to do because of the look they have. And that's part of it. It's, you need a great story. You need a great script. You need a good director. But just the telling of the story through the eye of the camera, you know, that takes us on this poetic journey that rivets and the depth and the, you know, that's why we love cinema. That's why we love storytelling. That's why I'm so excited. It's like you get this team of very talented people together, and at the end of the day, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and I really wish more people would try to think like you are and open up that way because, you know, there would be a lot more films made. You know, I really think that, you know, sometimes, you know, people, if they're the writer, director, producer, you know, they're doing it all, sometimes they can't see that maybe they should have maybe they should have had some help doing the movie because maybe they can't be everything. They need to have, you know, it's a group. I think it's good when it's a group process. I think everybody learns from each other, you know. I mean, I just wish Hollywood would do that. I mean, I had so many clients in the past that, you know, they gave up, most of them. You know, I'm still here out there, you know, but a lot of them gave up. So I really feel that people never know how if they don't keep trying.
Oh, I agree. You never know what you can do to get. I mean, it's part of this. I mean, part of the acting and what I'm chasing is to be able to, like Randall said, work with people you love working with and talented and you know, people that can create a story. I mean, and you do that together. I mean, not one person. Pretty much anything that you set out to conquer in life, very very rarely do you do it alone. You know,
right.
So to be able to be on the same page with, you know, not just one person, but a group of people. I mean, it's extraordinary that you can come together and make something that's so great as a film can be when you create the atmosphere that you love to be in, which is, you know, with that, working with people that you love to work with, you know, and creating a story that's worth being told, you know.
There are a lot of good stories out there. I mean, there really are, you know, and that's a shame of it all. You know, there's so many people. So, you know, when I do the shows and they listen, and we keep putting them out so they hear all the shows. You know, this is a live show, but it goes out and we have it on our websites. And, you know, Virginia Grenier and myself, we do this for all these years, but, you know, really people shouldn't stop, you know, because actually they get better, I think. You know, sometimes, you know, you think you're really good, you know, like maybe your first story is good, but then by the 12th you go like, well, maybe it wasn't so good, you know, maybe I need work on it, you know. And, you know, I think, Sammy, what you said, you knew you needed some help, which is a very interesting thing, because when you're on page 57, I think you said you were at 50, that is a crucial point. because that can be little. That can be a little nap time for people when they're watching a movie, and you know, and then they nod off, and then they get up at the end, and everybody's dancing and singing, and they go like, "Oh, wasn't this a great movie?" But they, that whole middle is the part that's tough,
right?
You
know,
and
the movie action.
Yeah, and at that time I wasn't looking, you know, looking at it completely like that, but. You know, I had great, I had the great story built up, and where I fell short, you know, and it's like anything else. Somebody can be really good at something, but really great at something else. And, you know, for me, it was beefing up the dialogue. And, you know, I had the story, I had the characters, I had the outline. It was the dialogue that I needed. And that's what Jacob brought to the table. And, you know, and then obviously JT, you know, Joshua Tywater, who came in and did the final draft. You know, he just knew how to to put the story in line and everything go right where it needed to go, happen right when it needed to happen. And then, you know, obviously Gene came on board, and he's a great writer. I mean, he can change things around and make it ideal, and you know, some things that maybe it doesn't seem like would be be possible. You know, he can kind of change it around to make it possible. And, you know, so these guys brought their own little thing to the script. And so, you know, I wouldn't be here today talking about a great story if I didn't have all these guys on board. I mean, I've been so blessed all the way up to Randall now being the visionary he is with it. I mean, it's been total blessing for me in this process so far. So I'm so excited.
And Gene, what about the writing process for you? Do you, are you happy with it, you know, right away, or do you have to let it sit for a while and then say, well, I like it or I don't like it?
I think it kind of, it's one of those things that change every time you read it, I think. It's interesting when you put something down, you put a concept down on a piece of paper, and you come back and look at it a week later. You realize, hey, that's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah, and so, sometimes I'm thinking, like, right, you probably think, like, where did that come from? And then you just,
I write
longhand. Does anybody write longhand sometimes here? Sometimes I write a lot of stuff down longhand. And then once I get to the computer, it changes. As soon as I get to the computer, I don't know why that is, but it does for me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's strange. I think you conceptualize a scene. Something happened and you have a certain atmosphere in your mind. And so when you write it down and then when you try to recreate that at a later date, it changes, you know, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, and sometimes just into something completely different. So
if you overthink it, maybe sometimes, you know, if you're writing, you know, when I was doing my agenting, I used to read the story straight through, you know, of a client and see how it was. I wasn't looking for, which I find now people do this all the time. I mentioned it the other day on my show, is that they're so busy looking for mistakes when they're reading things, they can't enjoy the story. You first have to enjoy the story, and then you could say, okay, you need editing, okay? And, you know, because I think you getting it out of your head and getting that whole story down, if you know, we all do it in bits, and it comes to me, I think it comes in bits and pieces sometimes. You know, I've had a lot of people, they say, like, oh, they sit down and then they just do it, and some use an outline. I don't, because I like to not know what's going on. I don't know about you guys. How does do you feel about that? Do you like to know everything that's going on, or do you, it sounds like you might not, you just kind of go for it?
I think it kind of depends. Depends on what
I'm a director, writer, producer. Yes. I want to know everything. I'm a control freak, so I'm different from just a writer. I look at it holistically all the time, like a 3D chess game. So I'm a writer, producer, director, so I look at the budget as a producer. As a director, I look at the actors and how to get the scene, but I'm not precious. That's why I think this script is so good. Samuel has passed it. Like, he's let it go, and he's not precious. So when we do the first table read, if an actor says, hey, I feel better if I say it this way, and we hear it from him, we know the purity of the delivery of the line, no one's going to say, hey, no, that's not how it's written. And that's what takes things from being great to brilliant.
It's a very good thing, you know, and that's true. You know, they had I don't know if anybody watches Animal Kingdom. It's Yep, you
oh,
do?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I love it. So, anyway, Ellen Barkin is incredible in that. And the guys are all great. You know, but they showed John Wells doing a reading, you know, I think when they first met each other. They have, I don't know how it got on, but it was something extra they showed. And it was quite interesting to see them not knowing each other when they just came in a lot of times to do it, though. Because that's an intense story. Wow. So what do you like about that one?
Oh, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. The whole series. Part. And, yeah, I mean, I love it. I love that it's a family doing all this, and
yeah.
So I'm not going to give it away.
Some family, that is.
I'm a big fan of the actual movie that they wrote that from, that they got that story from. There's a movie that's called Animal Kingdom that's come from, and. So the actors are great in it, and it's just a good show to watch.
Yeah, isn't it incredible? I mean, I think it is, and I think, you know, I don't know if anybody wants to talk about this, but how you feel about the HBO? I think they've done a lot of good programming lately. I mean, for me, Showtime and HBO, I think there's really good writing on these shows.
Oh yeah,
a lot of them.
I'm a big fan of that, and a lot of these shows will carry over to TNT and. And
yeah, TNT
well.
Has
and,
some good ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the same caliber of shows, and Netflix is picking up a lot of great shows right now too. I mean, you know, a lot of good shows right now that you can tune into, and actually, you got to be careful because next thing you know, you're binge watching on the couch and not getting anything done. So.
I know that. I did that with Orange Is Black, you know, but now I don't do it anymore. You know, I mean, because there really are a lot of good shows on there. Bloodline, I mean, there's a lot, but you can't just sit there and watch TV all the time. I mean, you could, but, you know, you can't get anything else done. But, you know, I think it's good that they have a lot of different actors that you might not have seen on ABC, NBC, or CBS, you know, and I think that it's brought to the table so many good people that you see again. You know, like even
right.
in Ray Donovan, you know, and.
Oh, I love that show, too.
Me too, I know.
You and I shows,
same taste there, I know, because, you know, and when you're watching it, you're going, like, how can they do that? You know, I'm thinking, like, when I watch Ray Donovan, by what he does in a day, I'm going, like, this is so tiring. I mean, by the end of his day, he's already killed people, he's buried them, he's, you know, and it's he's done so many things. Randall, do you have any favorites? That you watch?
Well, here's where I'm. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
I'm gonna take everyone to the far right. So
okay.
When I started my career writing, directing, producing, I made a point of never going to see other people's plays, never to see other people's productions, because I didn't want to be influenced at any level.
No,
by
I agree with
anything.
On that level.
Yeah. So it's weird for me because there's brilliantly talented, great things that I know I should have watched and I know I should have studied, but
I don't
want to be influenced by other creative people. Now, that being said, do I watch certain things on TV with my lovely wife? Absolutely. But I try to watch it as a fan, not as a director, producer,
yeah.
or a writer.
See, because I know what you're saying,
ahead.
Because I do that with books. See, I don't read books. I write books, but I don't read them because I don't want to copy their characters. I don't want them in my mind at all. But screenplays, that movies doesn't bother me. But books, yeah, and I actually think I'm kind of illiterate lately because I don't think I'm reading any books, you know. But I, you know, for me, I notice from seeing people, and I think you all might agree, that sometimes you see things that people are copying other people, and I don't ever want to read it in my book.
Yeah, and that's why when I look at A Brother's Badge, I don't want to be derivative. So exciting about the script is the script is fresh to me, and it's exciting. But as a writer, director, producer, yes. But the other thing, I'm a technologist. So, you know, I've gathered together the latest and greatest technology from JVC and from GoPro and from Sony.
Yeah.
And the scenes, the way we're going to shoot it, will have a look and a feel that reflects in the writing of what these guys. It's going to be cutting edge. It's going to be a breath of fresh air to that genre. Like Don't get me wrong. I love the old, you know, famous cop movies that we've seen over the years, but you want to add something. Like my brother Shane is a brilliant sculpture artist, and like he's a genius in my mind. And why? Because we are alike. He wants to bring something new to the sculpture world.
Yeah.
So Samuel and Gene and I want to bring something new and different to this genre,
it's going to be a great project. You know, I mean, Gene, we're talking about, you know, how do you feel about that? Do you watch a lot of TV or you don't?
I watch TV as a project, so it's hard to watch anything without thinking, wow, how did they get that shot? Or, ooh, that was cool.
It's interesting. It's
interesting how they managed to put those clips in.
Yeah. Gene and I are a lot alike.
Yeah.
we're the same coin, just opposite sides, you know.
Well, some of my favorites today are
Mr. Robot. We're pretty hooked on Mr. Robot. That's
I've seen it.
Show. I love it.
Christian Slater is really good. You know, I've watched one. There's so many on. That's why I was saying that, because there really are a lot on, and you have to make your choices, because otherwise you will be sitting there just all the time. You know, but screenplays don't get in my head, but books, that's why I don't do books. And I know everybody wants me to read books. That's why I don't review books. Even, you know, and I really don't, you know, and I'm admitting it. I just don't want their characters in my head. You know, and
right.
I do feel, like Randall does, I do feel sometimes, you know, it seems like a lot of the books are the same, one and the same, you know, and they pretty much, a lot of them are, I shouldn't say that, but they are pretty much the same, you know, and I guess this is what's happened to life. There's so many things, you know, because you're carrying around, you know, a Kindle, your phone, you can watch a movie, read a book, do everything that you couldn't do, you know, when you should be doing other things, probably, I guess. You know.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know what that'd be. I really don't know what I'd do without my phone these days.
I know this. I used to memorize everybody's number, and now it's all in my phone. So
I don't even know my own number.
All the things
anymore
we used to do, you know, we're just so used to it, you know. And being without a phone, especially when you're on a low battery, sometimes I'll go like, oh, my God, I better call someone and tell them. I might not be able to call them to tell them, because if I don't bring the charger with me, then I'm, you know, I mean, it's the world is very different than we all, you know, than it's been. And it's a fast, quick pace, which is a good thing, you know, because I can hear from everybody here. We're all kind of
moving. Well, when the grid goes down and we lose technology, we're going to be dumber than cavemen.
Yeah.
there's
a
conspiracy
you know.
Theory for the day, guys. You can chew on that for a
while. Yeah, well, we'll leave that to CNN, because that's what they do all day long lately. You know, I mean, I even found myself, which is unusual. I'm listening to CNN on the radio, which is I cannot believe, but I am. So I can't, you know, we don't do political shows, but it's like, you know, I find myself drawn to hearing what's going on for the day, you know, and then I'm thinking like, oh my God, it never was like this. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of movies from this time, shall we say, this time in America.
Right.
That's how I look at it. Randall? So is there something that you guys want to talk about the show before, you know, we end? Because I know, you know, you have a really good – who made the log line for the show? It's a good one.
That would be Gene.
Yeah. That was good. That's the hardest thing, don't you feel? That's a hard thing to do.
It is.
Yeah. It's the biggest hook you have, so.
I know. And it really is hard.
And I couldn't do it because I wanted to put everything in the script into that one line, and it just couldn't happen for me. I gave that job to Gene, and he did really, really well with it.
It's good because it is hard. And, you know, it's really hard, you know, and because, you know, that log line, that's like putting it right out in front of everybody and to, you know, and it really has to say what you're doing.
Right, without saying everything you're doing.
Right.
You don't give everything away.
Right. It's harder to do. It's very hard to do in a comedy, because I have my Grand Central Station is a book I wrote, and it's off of a script. But it's very hard to make a good log line for a comedy.
Yeah,
you know, because, yeah, how are you going to say it's funny? You know, they go like, great, really good for you. Yeah.
So it's a funny show.
I know, Randall, you mentioned something about your children's. We should just say, you know, how are those projects coming for you, the children's? Because I know when we talked about them.
Yeah, the Tale of Sasquatch is out as an app, and that thing's going really well. I'm very happy with it. And I just about finished my new screenplay/app. You know, I believe in vertical marketing, so everything I do, I look at multiple distribution points. And my new Easter Frog, the tale behind the bunny, which explains how Easter came about. You know, frogs had to make, you know, bunny costumes to deliver eggs because frogs are ugly, and so it and everything has a social meaning to it. Like, you know, there are a lot of children out there that are ostracized because they don't fit in, and so I'm, you know, a lot of my children's work is to help educate adults how to deal with children and children how to deal with their situation. So I'm working on that, and
I just talked to someone that has a radio show, and she's on a blog talk show, and I know her for years. She did shows with us. She's going to do something on cyberbullying. And she's a very good reviewer. Maybe when she has a show, and maybe I'll tell you about it to be in it, because I think that, you know, because the bullying issue is very much, you know, that's so important for kids, you know.
Absolutely.
You know,
we need to help children. You know, I think, you know, it's their future. So doing that, and then the other thing that is actually, it ties into what I'm doing with Samuel and Jean, is I'm part of a new international nonprofit, and our aim is to be the focal point of international attention for Texas artists, innovation, and public affairs and feature film. So, you know, it's a think tank group that will look at things that we're doing for this feature film and going, how do we help these guys? So we're not an island anymore. I'm all about, you know, community support and bringing as many resources as possible to whatever projects I'm involved in. So, you know, I'm working with these guys, and we have a meeting Monday, and I'm going to talk about this feature film and how this group can help us. Because, you know, it's a community that makes us strong. We can't do it all by ourselves. We can't, you know, just be isolated. And so, you know, I'm involved in a lot of things like that.
Well, I think that's a good thing. I mean, you know, because it really, I mean, that really is what people need to do. I mean, I think they don't realize it much, but when you are in a group, it does help a lot. You know, support. We all need support of our projects.
Yeah, and not just, you know, not just internal. Like, you know, because of my festival in China that I've done a couple of years, and we're going to do it again, I look at every project I work on internationally. Like, this movie I'm doing with these guys, will it play well in England? Yeah, I think the English will love it, because it's a gritty, you know, different vibe than what they're used to seeing. You can only watch so many Hugh Grant movies in England. You know what I mean? So and don't get me wrong, I love Hugh. I think the guy is brilliant. No, I think he's very talented, but I think there's a diversity that's required. So English-speaking countries will look at this movie we're doing and find it compelling and intriguing. And so what I'm trying to do right now is connect the dots, so that when we come out with this, you know, it's a lot of time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears. And at the end of the day, it has to be financially successful. And you do that in pre-production. You don't, you know, do a movie and hope. You know, that's
work. And internationally, somebody had mentioned to me today, you know, that they said they saw the Bourne Incident, and I did. I enjoyed it, you know. And Matt Damon is great. So she said he didn't have very many lines. I said it doesn't have to be, because internationally that movie's going to make a fortune, because it is, long as it's entertaining, they don't care what he says. You know, I mean, and there's a lot of good scenes in that where there's a lot of action. So internationally, a film can really make a lot of money if it's for the right market.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, and I think that people, that's what they have to realize. And I, you touched on this for a minute, you know, and it's all about, it is about money. And, you know, when they're writing a script sometimes, people, I think what they don't realize is how much it's going to cost and why people are rejecting their scripts. It's probably not always because their words aren't good. It's that they can't get the financing for it.
Well, but there's that, and the other thing is, I believe in vertical marketing. So, you know, one of the things that, that I'll be doing with this is, you know, one of the companies I work with is Footage Bank. Paula Lombard is the CEO of the company, and she's brilliant. For years and years and years, she takes my stock footage and repurpose it and sells it worldwide. And so when you look at a project, you go, how many different revenue streams can we derive from this project? So there's theatrical, there's digital downloads, there's television, and things like there's shots and scenes that we'll have that we can do stock footage and derive revenue. So the investors that come in, I'm not saying, oh, as a director, I'm an artiste and I need to spend all your money and make my movie.
Yeah.
No, I'm a businessman first, an artist second. I've been that my entire career. So when I look
which
at these
a good,
guys,
which
I'm
is
going,
one reason you're successful, but unfortunately, a lot of people that are authors or screenwriters, whatever, they're not. You know, they're not business people, and sometimes,
well,
you know,
it's
you're
not their
thinking
money.
About it. Yeah,
well,
right.
And the thing is, whether it's my money or someone else's money, I think of it as it's my money. So my entire career, because I started as an 18-year-old writing, directing, producing, using my own money to fund my projects, I respect the every penny that we get, whether it's hard money or soft money. Like, I've talked to a number of manufacturers already that are dying to be part of this movie with me, and we're going to get free, you know, toys. I call them toys. You know, cameras that the actors can wear to get a POV, their sunglasses that have a camera built in them. You know, if you look at my last documentary, Fast from the Past, you know, I've attached GoPro cameras and Axiom JVC cameras to different parts of the cars to get POVs, point of views, of camera 4K that is breathtaking. So I look at the big picture, not just I'm an artist, I'm the director, everything else is irrelevant. You can't work that way in today's marketplace.
I do think it's great you think like that. I wish that a lot more people would, because, you know, you have a lot going on, and that's why this is definitely going to, I'm certain, going to be, you're marketing it great already, and I think that when it comes out, you know, it's going to be very successful because you've done it at different stages, and that's important, you know, and you can see how it's important to you. So, you know, when people write something, you know, I'm sure Gene and Samuel will agree, you know, they want their project to be in the hands of somebody that cares. You know, and it's not
sure. Easy. Absolutely, that's a big part of the whole thing. Is
yes,
it? And we're really fortunate to have the team that we do have. That's really very important as far as putting all of this together. Randall is a great person, and you know, we first met him, we really liked him right off the bat, and you know, Sam and I, and we've got a couple other people that we're working with. We work together pretty well as a team, and so you know, it's nice because when you have that vision and it's out there and you have other people that, you know, can see that vision also, it prevents you from, you know, stepping on each other's toes and spinning, you know, spinning your wheels in the wrong directions and those sorts of things.
Well, because, you're looking at it like a project, and it's all of your project, and you want it to be successful and whatever
and
that takes.
We're trying to tell a story. I mean, the whole idea is to bring the audience into the story. You know, just immerse them in the story, take them away for a couple of hours, and by the time it's all over, they go, wow, that was great. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, because it's about the story. It's a good, you know, and actually, this is the name of the show. It's called A Good Story is a Good Story, World of Ink. You know, and I've had A Good Story is a Good Story. My manager, he's been ill, so I remember he once said to me, just write a good story. So then when I started doing shows, I went, oh, good story is a good story, because I really do think if it's a good story you can be proud of, this is important, you know.
Sure.
And so I think people need to hear that, you know, a good story. You have to hear
that. Yeah, I think a lot of people get kind of bogged down in the idea of what they want to write versus whether or not it's intriguing or not, you know.
Yeah.
And so they have this idea of like, well, I want to put this down on paper, and then by the time they're finished, it's not really very good. You know, I mean, how many alligator sharks are there, really?
It is about emotion, and it is about feeling, and, you know,
exactly.
You write, it really should have some feeling, and when you're writing it, you should have some feeling while you're writing it.
Exactly.
If you don't,
I mean, you're writing it, if you have a feeling about it, capturing that and putting it down on paper, that's essential.
I think it's important.
And
that
gives the actor something that they can sink their teeth into.
Right.
Because they're going
if someone says they don't like it, just keep going.
Keep going, right. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, I actually had a lot of this story in my head for almost a year before I even picked up the pen and started writing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Best advice I can give somebody is just write, because you never know what you have until it's completed, or the beginning of something you may have until you meet the right people that's going to help you bring it out and
that is true. And if you have an editor or there's somebody that's looking at it and they tell you, like in my Grand Central Station, my editor, he wasn't thrilled that I had a dog that talked. Okay. It's not a children's book. It's an adult. It's a comedy, romantic comedy, and the dog talks because I think the dog is the best character. He says, "Well," I go, "like leave this dog in. I want the dog in because I need that dog in there because the dog said certain things that people wouldn't say." And so we did, and so then that was one of the things that people liked about the book because, sometimes you have something, even if it's a character like a dog, the dog to me is a character. So I felt, and my dog can talk, so that's how it goes, And if I would have taken it out, I think it would have been missing. So that's the other thing. Sometimes you have to be careful not to do everything that somebody says that you have strong convictions that will make it a better story.
Oh,
right. Your vision is your vision, and that's the thing,
Yeah. So we all agree on that. So this has been a really good show, and I hope you guys will come on. I mean, I think, I really wish you luck, and I think the minute I heard Randall, the first time on the radio, I went like, this is someone that I am so happy is out there because this is how I think when everybody works together and to get a good project. And I think from what I'm hearing, you guys all are in a really good project. And with a good project comes good feelings. So I'm wishing you all well. And I hope you come on again. And Randall, keep marketing. Randall, you're good. You are good at it, Randall. We'll tell you. I'm going like, oh, there's Randall. He shared this and he liked this, But and I think people should, get the fact that how important it is. Because, I see that you do that, and I think it's really nice, So I try to do that a lot for people because it doesn't take much time just to write and to get interest. So I think, Randall, you've got a good team going here, you guys, your project is with a good person, so I think this is going to be great. And I do hope you'll all come on again, and we could talk about anything you want to talk, because I never know what we're going to talk about. I know I've done 6 years of shows without questions because it's whatever happens. I'm going with what you're saying, and so it's very interesting today. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia.
You need, just let me know. So,
sure will.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye and have a
good
night. Well, it's not actually nighttime. It's only 4 o'clock here, like you. All right, take care.
And again, thank you so much for having us on your show.
Oh,
you're
welcome anytime.
Yeah.
I'll make a show at any time, so don't worry about it. I make room. All right, take care.
It's a pleasure.
Good night. Good night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Nice meeting you, Samuel and Gene.
Yes, you too.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.